God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard those stories of someone being lost at sea? I have. I recently read a story about two fishermen, John Eldridge and Anthony Sosinski. They're two fishermen, professional fishermen, out of Long Island, New York, and one summer morning in 2017, they set out for their usual fishing journey out into the Atlantic Ocean. They went out about 40 miles offshore. Anthony, as soon as he got on board, he went down below deck and somehow managed to fall asleep, leaving John above deck trying to get ready for the catch that they were going to have that day. John, unfortunately, suffered some freakish accident that sent him sprawling backward and actually fell overboard. Now, the boat was put on autopilot, so he kept going without John on board and with Anthony fast asleep below deck. Well, to make a long story short, by the time John resurfaced out of the water, the boat was long gone. He was all alone, treading water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And without a life vest, John quickly realized that this was the way he was going to die. Can you imagine what that must have felt like, knowing that your life is going to end this way? Now, most of us, at least myself, I would like it to be a surprise. But he knew that this was it. This was the way he was going to go down. What a terrible feeling that must have been. Well, while John was trying to calm down, trying to figure out how he's going to spend the remaining minutes, if not hours, of his life, he realized something. He realized that his boots were buoyant. In fact, he remembered that there was a way that you could actually use his kind of boots to stay afloat. So he took one down, emptied it, put it back in the water, and created an air pocket in the boot, and it floated. Well, he did the same with the other one, and he used them under his arms, and he was able to stay afloat. A flicker of hope came to John's mind. He just might have a chance after all. With these two boots filled with pocket of air under his wings, he was able to tread water. For how long? Well, that remains to be seen. In the meantime, 4 hours later, Anthony, his partner who fell asleep below deck, awoke and realized that John was nowhere to be found on board. He quickly realized what must have happened and called the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard began their search procedures. Now, one of the Coast Guard commanders did say to Anthony that there's not much hope of finding John in so much open water. But on the contrary, John did make it to the next morning. He stayed afloat, all using the two boots under his arm. He stayed afloat. Now, I got to say, had that been me, I would probably have been able to stay afloat now 2, 3, 5 minutes. He was able to stay afloat all night. So in the morning, he tried to revive his hope, but as he looked around, there was no sign of any help, no sign of any rescue coming, no sign of any other being other than the two sharks that were circling around where he was. At long last, he spotted a fishing buoy, and he managed to swim to it and got onto it. And then within an hour, a Coast Guard helicopter flew by and recognized and saw John splashing and waving below, and soon rescue was had. When they pulled him out of the water, one of the Coast Guard rescue diver told him, "We've been looking for you for 9 hours." And shivering and cold and hungry and thirsty, John said, "Well, I've been looking for you guys for 12 hours. Miraculously, John survived. He survived the whole ordeal. What an amazing story. A story of hope. But you know, hope is like that. Hope is not an exercise of wishful thinking. I know some people confuse those two. I'm hoping this when they actually mean I wish this. Hope is not an exercise of wishful thinking, but rather it's about faith. It's about having faith. It's about trusting in a future based on what you know and what you have experienced in the past. That's what hope is. Like John's situation, hope is the whisper of that maybe, that what if. Oh, I recall that you could use boots as a flotation device. That past experience knowledge gave him a flicker of hope. For some, hope is that first lit candle after the power has been knocked out by a storm. For others, hope is that percentage that doctors give you of beating cancer. And yet for some others, hope is that thin, fine line on the pregnancy test, especially if you've been struggling of getting pregnant. For others of us, hope is that ray of sunshine through the window after a long, tearful, difficult night. Hope is also hearing the words, "He's going to be okay," from a surgeon or from a police officer. See, hope is what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent. Hope is what the season of Advent is about. So what's your hope in life? What are you hoping for these days? As I said at the first service, if we're a Baptist church, I would have asked you all to turn to somebody next to you and ask that question. What's your hope these days? But we're not that, so we're not doing that. What's your hope these days? What are you hoping for these days? You see, Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, the present, and the future. That's what Advent is. It links what happened in the past and what it means to us now and what we hope the future will be. It is a season marked by expectation, marked by waiting, by anticipation, by longing. It is a season often marked, however, by frenzied busyness. People milling around, busy about making Christmas good, when Christmas in and of itself is good. Advent is an opportunity to set aside time, to prepare our hearts and help us place our focus on the story of God's redeeming love and grace for our fallen world. That's what Advent is. I know many have asked, why don't we sing Christmas songs during the season of Advent? Because it's not Christmas yet. It's coming. But we're in the season of preparation, season of anticipation, a season of expectation, a season of longing for what it means for God so love the world. It is a season also intended for us to dig in deeper into the reality of what it means that God has sent his Son to the world to be the Emmanuel, to be God with us. That's what this season is all about. It is a time that allows us to question, to ask questions, to struggle with some of the difficulties about what it means to be people of God. It is a time we take to prepare our hearts for Christ's second coming, what he had promised, that he will return and come back and make all things new, all things perfect. It is that time in preparation for that newness that God has promised in Christ Jesus. Yes, Advent is a celebration of the fact that God comes and he comes to be with us. I don't know if you realize how good of a news that is. Most people work all their lives trying to make it to God. Most people work hard to try to reach up to God. When we've been promised that God comes to us. That's the kind of God I want. Because there's no way that I could even try or manage to reach up to where he is. I love a God who chose to come to me, to be with me, to be with us. That is his promise. That is what we celebrate in this season of Advent. The God who chose to come to us as opposed to requiring us to come to him. He is the God with us. Even in the midst of the darkness that we are going through, even in the midst of the pain that we're feeling, in the midst of the chaos that we're experiencing, God comes to us. He does not leave us. He does not bail out on us. He comes to us, and he makes a way for us. That's the way God has always been. And that's the way God worked throughout history. In the Old Testament, that is how God has dealt with, how God abided and guided with his people. That's how God manifested his grace and his presence throughout Scripture. And this is the God who promised to send his people, the Israelites, a Savior, a Messiah, which you and I know came some 2,000 years ago. That God is one who chose to stick with his people, come hell or high water. That God is the same God who stuck with his people in thick or thin. That God, and still is, the same God that we have now and in the years to come. You see, friends, no matter what kind of problems or struggles we're facing right now, and there are many, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain we are in, let me encourage you to not abandon hope. Even in our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances, there is still hope. How do I know? Because I know and I trust that wherever, that whenever, and that however God comes, how God is with us, there will always be hope. When you or a friend start talking about not having hope, I wish that you would ask them, do you believe in God? And if they said, yes, I do, then you said, then there is hope. Because there is always hope where there is always God. God comes, He brings hope. That is the significance of God with us. I find it difficult to understand a Christian who has a sense of hopelessness. It's almost oxymoronic. Because the Bible teaches us that where God is, there is hope. Because God will neither forsake nor leave us. God will always be with us. You know, as a child, as a small child, one of the things that I used to be afraid of is darkness. But I could get through the darkness knowing fully well that my mother, my father is in the next room. Always. And if they were not, then I had things to worry about. But as long as I knew, as long as that knowledge resided within me, that they are in the next room, all is well. Same with God. We as Christians know this. Come what may in this world, as long as we know God is with us, there is always hope. You may not see it now. You may not have it now. You may not feel it now. You may not even have a concept of what that looks like. But the truth is, there is always hope where there is God with us. And we know this from God's Word. It's based on God's Word, the Holy Scripture, and His promises to His people, both long ago and today, is that He will neither leave nor forsake us. His words remind us and prepares our hearts to receive, prepares our heart to hear, prepares our mind and our very beings to encounter that which He has promised to be with us. So no matter what we face in this world, no matter how bleak tomorrow looks, no matter how bad the pain gets, God will be with us. God will neither leave nor forsake us. And Paul, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 says, God, there's nothing in all of creation, no one thing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in Psalm 139, David wrote, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God with us through thick and thin. God is with us come hell or high water. God is among us, and He chooses to do so through the power of His Holy Spirit and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So God with us means that He always will be with us. Nothing. And nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away from us. So as we move through this season of Advent, let me encourage you to dig deeper into the words of the Bible more intentionally. I encourage you to read more where you could find that promise of God in Scripture. Because God is with us, and we can hope that we are never alone. Now, the other thing that assures us that God is with us and that hope abides, that hope remains, is the story in the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, about the woman who had issues of bleeding. This woman had a bold, bold hope. Knowing her condition, she decided to act based on what she knew, what she heard, what she found out about Jesus. And with a full commitment and full intention of being healed by the touch of his garment, she was healed. That's bold hopefulness. That's faith in the midst of pain and suffering and humiliation. Hope awoke within her. The hope of being healed, the hope of a new life, the hope of being free. And he drove her to come to Christ. We as Christians, we have a great deal of wonderful news to tell non-believers, especially in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of their hopelessness. We could say, we know somebody. We got a guy. We know someone who you could turn to, who you could lean on, who can heal, who can restore you, who could improve what is going on in your life. That's the good news that we are to bear as people of God, as followers of Christ. This is our God. This is the character of our God, that he chooses to be among his people, that he chooses to be with his people. And his very presence among us brings us hope, offers us hope. One of the favorite passages or well-known passages in the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is a promise that every Christian alive should hold on to. The come what may, whatever circumstances there is that they're facing, the promise of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that he will always be with you, even to the end of the age. This is a promise worthy to fuel our hope and our faith. Because God is true to his character. Because of who he is, we have hope in him in this life. Let me end with these words from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. Paul wrote, "May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Next Sunday, we'll talk about how God with us brings love. Amen.